The information discussed on Keep Antiquing is not intended to be a substitute for an in-person appraisal of an item. Exact pricing can only come from actual viewing. WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management disclaim responsibility for any incorrect estimates relating to the misinterpretation or misapplication of information given on this program.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Frank Farmer Loomis Show. I'm Frank Farmer Loomis here on WMKV, WLHS, also known as the Keep Antiquing Show. I hope you're hungry today because we're going to be talking about food. And it's sort of like going, for some of us, back to our grandmothers. Mike, how are you?
Doing very well.
Are you hungry, Mike?
I'm always hungry.
You're always hungry.
That's one of my problems.
We, all of us. Well, the phone lines are 772-9658, and, of course, the toll-free number is 877-772-9658. And the last call letters are the same as WMKV, and both stations are part of the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And we always have a rule here, Cynthia, that callers come first. Now, maybe this caller is related to you. Let's hope so. Let's welcome Twyla. You've been holding on for a while.
Whoops.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. My question actually is this. I found a picture in an old barn several years ago because I was out taking pictures of old buildings and old farms and barns. And when I walked into this barn, I happened to look down to the left of me, and I saw the end of this picture sticking out, and it was covered up with all kinds of things. And so when I pulled it out, it was this gorgeous, beautiful picture. And I took it to have it matted and framed, and the only thing, the way they could do it was to make it in an oval shape because the rest of the picture was really deteriorated.
Well, I think that was pretty smart of them to do it that way.
Well, I know, but the picture has always, I've always wondered what the name of it is. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's called Red Boy.
Red Boy?
Red.
And he's in a red suit?
He is.
Okay.
A red velvet suit.
Okay.
On a green couch.
Okay. And have you found, thanks, Mike. Have you, when you Googled that title, did you find an image of it?
I did.
Okay.
And I think that is what it was called, was the red boy.
Because right away when you said red boy, I was thinking blue boy, and then I was thinking there is a red
boy. I have blue boy, too.
Yeah,
I have blue boy and pinky, but.
Blue boy and pinky, yeah.
I do have, but this little guy is really special, I think, because of how I found him, and I couldn't believe that piece of work would be just thrown in a barn.
Well, that's neat. We can hear when you're talking about it how much you love it. Was Red Boy by, was that by Lawrence, the artist, or Romney?
Lawrence? I'm not sure. That's what I was just wanting. I don't know the history of Red Boy.
I'll see if I can find that out for you. But you did find the same, when you did the image search, the same item then, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
And here's the crazy thing. I was watching an old movie maybe a year ago, and I can't recall the movie. I remember it was a black and white, and I always notice things in on movie sets, like how they decorate and things. There was Red Boy, and I was like,
we just found
cow.
It, yeah. Good for you.
Sir Thomas Lawrence.
Sir Thomas Lawrence.
And the official title is Master Lambton.
Master Lambton, Red Boy.
Charles William Lambton.
And he's in a red velvet suit. And
he is.
Is there a dog there, Mike?
Yeah, I think he's just reclining on...
Yeah.
Yeah, he has his little leg up and
yeah,
his
exactly.
little arm up.
That's a great... Yeah. What museum is that one in, Mike? Does it say? Huntington in California?
Someplace.
Good.
Sure.
Well, yeah, you got a nice... That picture probably was copied in the 20s because Gainsborough, Lawrence, Romney, those portraits in the 1920s were... You know, everything comes and goes in popularity.
Yeah.
Was very, very... You know, he's never gone out of style. Don't get me wrong about that. But that was a... that's probably when that dated from. And so look up Lawrence. That's all right, Mike. It's probably in some Lawrence. Does it say there? But you look that up, Wiley, and you'll find that
What it was painted in 1825.
1825. It's like, you know, Romney and all those things like that.
Wow.
That's a beautiful painting. So
look at that face. I mean, look at those mm-hmm. eyes. And I noticed that by his knee, he mm-hmm. has like three little roses mm-hmm. that are laying beside of him, pale pink.
You can find it at the Bowes Museum.
Bowes Museum. Where's that, Mike?
Somewhere in England.
In England. You know, the Brits were getting a little nervy about it.
It was on a postage stamp in 1967.
67.
British postage stamp.
Well, they were getting nervous because a lot of the masterpieces were leaving the country and everything. So I know that happened. Oh, I'm just trying to think of some of the other ones that Chase and Morgan collecting stuff, and the Brits were getting very, like the French and Italians too, upset about having things leave the country. That's a good-looking painting. Very good looking.
Oh, he's over my desk in my office at my house.
Good.
And I just look at him all the time.
Well,
I love him.
And that's nice to have something that you like overlooking your desk. That's what I have, too. I have little small pictures that I look at. And when we talk to you, we can hear your enthusiasm about that picture. So.
Again, I just can't imagine how that ended up in a dirt floor in a barn with all this debris on it. I don't understand.
Well, if it hadn't been there, it wouldn't have been yours today.
Exactly, right? So I take him with me everywhere I go. If
Good.
I know he's the first, he goes in the front seat. So
his grandfather was the second Earl Grey. So if you could have some Earl Grey
tea, which is going to tie into our offer that we have today, tea. Very good, Earl Grey tea.
Oh, wow.
So you have to
cool.
You have to stay tuned because Cynthia has graciously waited because callers always come first. And so we thank you for calling, and we love you. How long ago did you find that in the barn?
I found this probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, I think it was very clever how they put it in an oval frame for you, because this one, Mike, is rectangular, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Well,
more.
That's the only way they could, that's the only I bet, part they could salvage.
I bet mm-hmm. it looks just fine in that. What kind of frame did you put it in? Too.
It's in a beautiful, like a mahogany and gold brushed frame.
Oh, okay.
And then it has a gold brushed and a little bit of brown matting.
Okay, good.
It looks like he's got earbuds and he's listening to Keep Antiquing, Frank from the
Well, we're very up there or from down there or something.
And I actually found him in South Carolina.
In South Carolina, great. Because the other ones that are famous from that time are Pinky and the Blue Boy.
I have them, too.
Oh, well, this was right up your alley, kid, because it's the same type
of
painting portrait. And
yep.
Look up another one, Twyla, called George Romney, R-O-M-N-E-Y, George. Look him up sometime on the computer because you'll like his work, too. And then
not Mitt.
No, George Romney, no.
Okay, I know.
I know, an ancestor of Mitt's. And also look up Thomas Gainsborough, because I think you would like his work, too. And if you do like Thomas Gainsborough's, go to the Art Museum, because they on the second floor they have two incredible ones. One is called Miss Ford, and the other one is some aristocrat who has his greyhound dog standing right next to him.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
So I have seen that.
So that, you know, they're the sort of the same mentality and the same era and everything of mm-hmm. British painting and everything. So, yeah, you'd like Gainsborough and stuff like that.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
And I found out a little bit of his history. That's great.
Good. And you called right away and held on, so thank you very much.
Thank you for taking the call.
Bye-bye. Mike, should we introduce our guest first, or would
we can do that real quick.
Well, she's been patiently waiting here in the studio, and I'd like to introduce you, and we'll go into more about all her things that she's done. But she's got a book that's hot off the press, literally, Cynthia Kuhn Beischel, and she has written a new book called we'll do your introduction, Cindy, in a minute here, okay. Lost Tea Rooms of Downtown Cincinnati, Reflections and Recipes, and it's a brand new hot off the press. So we'll be right back. Thank you for listening and supporting public radio. Well, Welcome back, everybody, to the Frank Farmer Loomis Show, also known as Keep Antiquing here on WMKV and WLHS, both part of the Maple Knoll Radio Network. Mike, I'm holding here in my hand a lovely photostaff copy of a menu from Shillitoe's Dining Room downtown from the 1940s. So we're going to be talking about food today, everybody, and it's 20 minutes after 5. You could have your choice of chicken and mushroom pot pie, a shopper's complete luncheon, not a lunch, everybody, luncheon. I bet you, did your mother take you downtown for luncheon?
Not to downtown too often. We were in Western Hills. So. That was the big city.
My grandmother took me to the Walnut Room at Fields for luncheon and the Heather House at
Marshall.
Carson
you
Beer's
never got. Mentioned Marshall Fields in your life before.
No, I never have, and it's coming back, everybody, so make sure you keep that posted. So in the studio here today, because we want Marshall Fields back. In our studio today is Cynthia Kuhn Bachel, and I'm holding her hot off the press book today called Lost Tea Rooms of Downtown Cincinnati. And in the back of her book here, I want to applaud you, Cynthia, because you have some beautiful English bone china teacup and saucer there with the tea in the teapot.
Thank you. That's actually great. My mother's.
Well, it's very, very beautiful.
Thank you.
And Cynthia moved to Glendale in 1974 with her husband and raised her two daughters. Her one daughter is here, and she works down at the Taft Museum of Art. And she's taking pictures of Cynthia. And then Cynthia attended college preparatory school, now part of Seven Hills School, then earned a Bachelor of Science in Fashion Design at the University of Cincinnati, and later received a Master's of Education in Xavier's Montessori program. Now, I'm holding her fourth book. She's written three of them here. I got in my hands. One is from Eulogy to Joy. And how would you describe that book?
It's an anthology to help people with the grieving process. And they're all first-hand experience pieces. And we covered the gamut of all different types of death, whether it's a child, a spouse, a parent. It could be suicide or murder. I mean, we just tried to address it so that people would find comfort within those pages.
That was in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine you don't have to answer the voice of experience is in here?
Yes, it followed the death of my husband.
That's what I was afraid of, so thank you. I'm sorry to hear that.
Let's
get on some better subjects here. Okay, another cute little book, but it is a charming little book, Discover the Past, A Tale of Cincinnati's Living History. Now, this is the wide open extreme. I love it. Tell us about that.
Well, I was a Montessori teacher, as you mentioned, and they have a sensorial approach to teaching. And so this was an offshoot of that. I wanted families to go experience things from the past. And so it's like little field trips that you can follow the storyline.
Yeah, and there's lots of good stuff here in Cincinnati. Then the third book I'm holding, which is your current publisher, that is it Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, across the river from Charleston, the History Press?
Right, History Press in Arcadia. Mm-hmm.
In Arcadia. And this book is called The Virginia Bakery, Bakers of Better Baked Foods, Virginia Bakery Remembered. Tell us about that.
Well, Virginia Bakery was a very famous bakery in this city, actually outside the city also. People would drive from Kentucky and Dayton and Columbus to come down for their baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
There were a five-generation family from Germany that started it, and they were just very well-known coffee cakes and their famous Schnecken. And
everybody, tell us, what's Schnecken?
Schnecken is a...
we probably all know, but you know.
It's a coffee cake, so to speak. It's made up of three spiraled rolls that are put in a pan together. And there's a lot of butter and sugar and just enough flour to hold it together. And it's pretty famous in Cincinnati.
Well, I know. I remember when it was still... People would line up on Christmas Eve, was it, together?
Oh, yeah. All the major holidays. They literally would have people going up the block, and then somebody, towards the day when they saw they were running out, they would have somebody from inside go out and count off people and then tell the others that they probably shouldn't bother to stand in line anymore.
And they were at sort of Ludlow and Clifton Avenue?
Uh-huh. Ludlow and Clifton.
Now, what brought their demise?
Demise,
I should mean.
Right. The family had several generations with bakers, and then the final generation was Tom Thee, the person I worked with. He had a very bad accident and had to close the store.
Mm. Now, we'll get on to happier subjects here. You know, at one time, in cities all across the country, the department stores would have great restaurants downtown. And there's all kinds of, if you folks have been watching Selfridge, Mr. Selfridge on PBS this past series, he is generally given credit for starting restaurants in a dining room, and he's given credit for about 1894-ish, starting it at Marshall Field's in Chicago, because they thought the ladies would not go away and they could stay and have lunch and everything, so he brought them. And in your book here, right from day one, we've had extraordinary stores here. Why don't you just tell us, start a little bit of a primer on some of the different places downtown. Maybe, I know you love the Women's Exchange.
Well, I actually, I'll start by saying that the publisher approached me and asked me if I wanted to do a book about the department store tea rooms. And so the premise initially was going to be strictly the ones in department stores. But when I interviewed people, I spent about a year and a half interviewing people and talked to at least 250 people. And so many people would say, well, if you're going to do that book, you have to talk about the Woman's Exchange in Mullane. So I added a couple independent
establishments. No, I think it's great. And the recipes in here, you cooked them all, didn't you?
Well, I did, or I got help from friends and family members. We had a lot of fun potluck dinners where everybody would show up with one of the recipes I'd given them, and then we would actually vote at the end of the meal as to which one should go in the book. So.
Ah, you know, I see on the cover and inside here. Is that you? Is that your daughter in this picture? No.
Yes, that's a secret.
Well, no, that's a compliment because you know, why didn't your mother? Why didn't you give her credit for that? Well, I saw that and I said, that's gotta. There she is. But you know, no one would have, if I had never met you. I would not. It's a. What's your daughter's name again?
Merritt.
And she doesn't want to talk. She's very shy, but she is at one of our favorite places, Taft Museum of Art. But that picture is.
Let me tell you why that picture came into being.
It's perfect.
Well, the suit is from Mabley and Carew, and it belonged to my mother. And it was just very typical of the outfits that women wore to the teas. Mm-hmm. And. I asked Merritt to try it on, and it looked very nice on her. And then I got in touch with the museum center and said, could we please do a photo shoot down there? And so I have her stepping off the trolley car, and there's the picture.
Honest to God, I thought that was you, but then I read But the only reason I thought that was, no, it's a compliment, but the only reason I thought it was you is because I've met you and everything. It looks so much like you. But, I mean, it's a glamorous 1940s picture and everything. And when you buy the book, everybody's on page 41. Maybe Merritt will autograph it for you.
Or she'll act for you. She's an actress.
You are kind of posing there. You do look a little serious. It's like you're on the is that the streetcar downtown?
The trolley. Yeah.
Trolley,
yeah.
Going downtown and trying to decide if you're going to go to Shillitoe's or Pogue's or McAlpin's or the Women's Exchange or Mabley and Carew. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to worry about McDonald's back then. And
No.
But I honest to God, I read this and I thought it was. It's a beautiful picture. Do you have it in your? Did you sign it and put it in your office? No? It's a beautiful picture. I mean it as a great compliment. I don't think anybody would have guessed that you just can't. And the pose, it's...
Well, it's out of the bag now.
Out of the bag. A star is born. Okay, so you included the Women's Exchange.
Yes, Mullane's.
Mullane's. That was then, in the Crew Tower, right?
Yes, and then...
I got the copies of their recipes here, yeah.
And then I had the Shillitoe's, Pogue's, McAlpin's, Mabley and Carew tea rooms.
When did Mullane's go out of business? I know it's in here. I forgot. Like in the 70s or something? That's all right.
You're asking me something that I don't have on the tip of my...
That's all right. Don't worry about it. We'll find it. But I love all these recipes. And so we can talk about the different places, but we got like a couple minutes right now.
Okay.
What are you and your daughter and family, what were some of the favorite recipes in here?
There's some wonderful soups.
Oh, yeah, the soups, yeah.
I actually had never had a mulligatawny soup before I started this project. And Pogue's had one and Shillitoe's had one, and they were both so delicious and different enough that I put them both in. So
good for
they're
you.
Great.
Good for you. Uh-huh.
There's a wonderful tomato soup. There's trying to think. The desserts, I have favorite desserts.
Well, we are talking to the author of this book. This is your first radio interview?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Right off the press.
We're
she's
going to
be
it.
She's going to be doing some book signings, and the first one will be tomorrow, Friday, yes. November the 4th, at from 5 to 9, as Mrs. Teapot's Tea Room on Fairfield Avenue in Bellevue, Kentucky. I'm Frank Farmer Loomis, and we'll be right back. Hello, everybody. I hope you're good and hungry because we're talking about food and we're talking about Cincinnati. And I'm holding a new book that's hot off the press, Lost Tea Rooms of Downtown Cincinnati, Reflections and Recipes, and it's by Cynthia Kuhn Beschel. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a cookbook and a history of the stores, and
right.
You made all these recipes.
Well, I did, along with my friends, yes. We tested over 150. There are 100 in the book. So. A lot.
And you had told me when we first met it took you 4 years. I think that's pretty darn fast, I think. Because then you had to go back and forth with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, two of my favorite people in the whole world, Rita Heikenfeld.
Uh-huh.
And Grand Fran Francis
Schloss.
I always, my friend Pete and Diane, they call her Grand Fran,
uh-huh.
Francis Schloss.
Yes.
Wonderful people, and they contributed.
They were helpful,
They were helpful. And we have a caller that I just know will have some stories for you, Cynthia, about where she ate downtown. Hi, Eileen.
Hi. Well, first off, Mike, thank you for the tip on about Ridge at 71 North.
Oh, good.
Because that was the way I was heading.
Okay.
So which dining rooms downtown did your family take you to? She grew up in Clifton.
We grew up in several places. When we used to actually go downtown, we lived more in North Avondale.
Oh, okay.
And we would go downtown. Dad would drop us off down there. I don't remember taking the bus all the time. And we would go to Pogue's, and if we were good, she would take us to the ice cream bridge.
The bridge,
You know that bridge at Pogue's, you got a beautiful picture there.
Mm, thank you.
And this is no attack against you, but that's right. Kind of controversial with preservationists. But it has a happy ending because when they built that bridge across, it decimated the Rookwood Arch that's on the other side. But they found when L.S. Ayres destroyed Pogue's and everything, they tore that bridge. Well, they did, you know.
Yep.
And they tore that bridge down, and thank God the Rookwood was left behind. It had a couple of holes in it, but they could restore it and everything.
Yes,
so
it's restored.
It has a happy ending from that point of view.
Right.
The ice cream place, it was called The Bridge, right? It would connect
right.
to...
Right, and then I don't remember, and maybe you can help me with this, what was the Pogue eatery place besides The Bridge?
There was the Camargo Room.
Okay. Right, I remember that.
I think the bridge just had ice cream and sandwiches there. I don't think it was...
Right.
At least when I was in town, not another restaurant there. Then they had something in the basement, didn't they? A sandwich thing in the basement?
I don't know about the basement one. They had a soup and...
sandwich type thing?
Yeah, that was near the bridge, too.
Was it? Well, maybe that's what you're thinking of, Eileen.
We didn't eat full meals when we went downtown for shopping. This would be for shopping. But we would also go. I remember, actually, when I got a little bit older, I'd go to McAlpin's, and that was the tea room, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's McAlpin's tea room.
Oh yeah, Mom would also take us there.
Did you get all dressed up?
Maybe. I don't remember. We always got dressed up back then.
Right.
Excuse me for interrupting. When you talk about getting dressed up, I don't think my niece doesn't believe me when I tell her this, but your daughter's wonderful picture there by the streetcar, she's wearing a hat. And what else is she wearing that they don't?
Gloves.
White gloves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
you wore your Sunday best usually if you're going downtown.
Even in the 60s, I think they still got
dressed up.
And my grandmother would always make me wear a jacket and tie to go to the Walnut Room or at Fields. And so
well, exactly.
Different
and
era.
Then, mm-hmm. And then We would go to, I'm trying to think, where was the Top Kettle? Was that it? McAlpin's also?
Wasn't that, what, yeah, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was
down on the first floor, back like a mm-hmm. countertop thing.
It was more of a sandwich
soup.
Well, and that's what we would do then. When we really went out to eat on Friday night, we would go to places that weren't necessarily coffee shops, because we eventually had seven children in the family, but we would go out every Friday night. I guess it was cheaper to, and better to make fish out than fish at home, since we were Catholic.
Well, and the department stores weren't open on Friday nights in those days,
no.
were they?
Just exactly.
Thursday
exactly.
nights?
Monday and Thursday.
Monday and Thursday.
Well, we would go Saturdays in the afternoon, because Mom didn't drive until I was in high school. And she got a car at that time, and... she didn't drive, so either we took the bus or we Dad would drive, and so then we would we would go to other places.
I mean, you should go tomorrow to Cynthia's book signing at Mrs. Teapot's tea room, 339 Fairfield Avenue, from 5 to 9
I went
tomorrow.
Hold on. Be quiet, Mr. Lomas.
What?
Anyway,
Mike, cut this one off, will you?
I said, hey, I went, oh, no, I can't go because it's girls' night out.
Well, we got a couple more times for you here.
Well,
the Bonbonnerie on November the 17th in O'Brienville.
And that's, what date?
The November the 17th, and that's in O'Brienville. That's
okay,
a Thursday. Thursday, starting at noon. And then here's Joseph Beth. The big kickoff there will be on November the 17th, starting at 7 p.m.
That's a Thursday. That's a Thursday. Yeah.
Well, here's a couple more for you. Or Cynthia's going to be at the Blue Ash Holiday Craft Show, and that will be on Saturday, December the 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then, and this might be better for you, the Clifton Branch Library. That beautiful new. Have you guys been there?
I haven't been to that new one yet.
It's beautiful. And you're going to be
it's
there.
Boss Cox's.
Yeah. And you're going to be there, 2 to 3 on December the 4th, Cynthia?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Nella's Tea Room out in Milford on Monday the 12th from 7 to 8 p.m. So you can.
Mike, have that put on the Facebook.
I will pass that on to George. He's the Facebook guy.
Yeah, tell George to put that on the Facebook.
So
that'll be very interesting. But we used to go places like Wiggins, the Cricket, Frisch's a lot. You could get a good fish sandwich. But, of course, those weren't the ones you're talking about. But, we would go out, and then Mom and Dad would go out on Saturday night. And I asked Dad one time, I said, Dad, why did you guys go out on Saturday night? Well, we thought, or why don't we go out on Friday night, I said. He says, well, if we went out on Saturday night, we needed to take you out on Friday night. I went,
Eileen, now I want to warn you something. Cynthia's going to expect you to be wearing white gloves and a hat when you come out.
Well, guess what? I could wear the hat, but I don't have white gloves.
They're hard to find.
I do. No, wait a minute. I could get a little silly here. Me get silly? I could wear the plastic white gloves that I use for something else.
No, let's not go into that. Well, listen.
I'll tell you what. I have to be with Frank. Frank and I are buddies.
Cynthia, I want to give the phone. Cynthia.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on one more second.
All right.
I want to give a traffic report. I don't know what's going on, but something's going on Montgomery Road in the heart of Norwood. It is backed up, and I see blue flashing lights.
I'll check it out.
Just think now, if you had Cynthia's book in hand, The Lost Tea Rooms of Downtown Cincinnati, you could be looking at these wonderful recipes as you're doing that. Well, Eileen, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I know that when you see Cynthia at one of these book signings, that you will say hello to her.
Yes.
I don't say hi to Frank. You know me. I don't say hi to anybody. I'm not friendly. I'm not outgoing.
Now I
stop lying.
Okay. Well, all right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Eileen, if you'd like to call us, but maybe some of your favorite stories. We have one caller here that had a question that I'm going to ask Cynthia in a minute. Right. The phone lines are 772-9658. 877-772-9658. There is one place downtown that used to have a huge business, and I think it's still there. Hathaway's in the Crew Tower?
Yes.
God love them, huh?
Hathaway's is still there. And as a matter of fact, I went there when I was doing the research just to get sort of a feel of going back in time. And amazingly, there's a waitress working there who I recognized from 25, 30 years ago.
Really?
She's still there, yes.
Well, you know, you I met you, you took my class on October the 8th for UC, and a couple years back, was doing a downtown walking thing, and one of the gentlemen in the class had been a busboy at Hathaway's back in way back when.
Yeah.
It's smaller than it was, wasn't it? Hathaway, is it still about good size?
I think it's the same size it
is
was.
Is it?
Yeah.
And when my office was in the Crew Tower in the 80s, I, you know, go down there and everything. So you have all these recipes, and you were going to tell us what a couple of your favorite desserts.
Desserts, okay. There's a blackberry jam cake that's delicious. There is, I mentioned the white chocolate cake from Shillitoe's. That's excellent. Let's see. There was a rhubarb pie that was different than normal because it has cream cheese.
No,
in
I'm
it.
Just laughing. I know you didn't mean the way it sounded.
How did it sound?
Wow. Well, no. differently delicious.
Yes. I'm only naming the ones that I thought were delicious.
No, it was just cute the way you said that. That's all.
And of course, the Shillitoe's cheesecake. Everybody.
Shillitoe. Oh, you got a. Isn't that a beautiful picture here, everybody? When you get this book, I think that's the Shillitoe one.
Yes, it is.
A beautiful English bone china. It looks like in the background there. I love these recipes because
my grandmother's.
Yeah, it's good. It's like. For me, it was like revisiting my grandmother. And here is my Aunt Joanne. Here's a recipe in here that from Lazarus that, of course, owns Shillitoe's of Welsh rarebit. And that goes back to colonial times. And I think that's going one of these days somebody's going to pick up on Welsh rarebit, make it fashionable.
Again, yeah. Well, I think a lot of the things in here are going to be coming back.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to give you this page here. I want you, my favorite quote is when you're talking about the lady that's 100 years old and making, we'll hold on to that.
Okay.
We'll let you see. We have in our hands here a brand new book just hot off the press called Lost Tea Rooms of Downtown Cincinnati, Reflections and Recipes. So it's got all kinds of different things in here. And a Greta Garbo looking young woman. That's your Garbo face there on the streetcar. You know who Garbo is.
Oh, yes.
I'm learning young people don't know who Garbo was anyway. I'm Frank Farmer Loomis, and you will be right back, and we will be continuing interviewing Cynthia here of the Lost Tea Rooms of Downtown Cincinnati, Reflections and Recipes. Well, I hope you're hungry, and if you weren't when you started, you're probably going to be hungry now. Today's special at the Fountain Room at Mabley and Carew, overlooking Fountain Square, was a choice 8-ounce strip sirloin, French fried potatoes, creamy coleslaw, rolling butter, $1.45. Or if you're watching your weight, you could go across the street and you could go to Pogue's. And there you would have braised top sirloin of beef, natural gravy, leaf spinach, you get your greens, cottage cheese and pineapple salad, rye crisp or Milba toast, and it has approximately 375 calories, $275. $2.75.
No.
That would have bought the whole restaurant then. $2.75. In my hand here, we have in the studio there, Cynthia, the hot off the press. Cynthia, we got two callers here, and I'm pretty sure that they're going to be wanting to talk to you about their book, your book. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank.
Hi. Do you remember going down to some of those restaurants?
He's from Dayton. He had different restaurants.
No, I'm from Dayton.
Oh, well, Reich's, which was part of Shillitoe's last
year. Yeah, we had Reich's and Kresge's and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, I just wanted to tell you about Burlington.
Oh, the last month of Burlington. I bet they had some menus there, maybe. And how was it? How was it?
It was very busy.
Good, very busy. Good. Okay.
Yeah. First, I want to give a shout out to Pam. Hi, Pam. She's a good listener of Keep Antiques.
Oh, good. And is Pam going to call us to say hello?
I doubt it.
Pam's a good listener, but she's shy. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if she's got something to talk about, I'm sure
okay.
she would.
Okay. Well, David, can we go to the next caller then?
What next caller?
Marty that's holding on.
Oh. Yeah, I just wanted to tell you it was very busy. And,
good.
And I'll tell you what Susan bought later.
Okay, well, no, the reason I'm doing, I want to cover everything for Cynthia, so she has all these book signings and stuff, and
sure.
you know, this show's about her today, so I want to make sure we get that information out, okay?
Okay.
And I thought we knew each other well enough after all these centuries that we can, you know, just...
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, thank you, David. Let's go to Marty. We have another caller. Hello, Marty.
Hi, guys.
It's great to have all these callers.
You mentioned Mullane's.
Yes.
There she is. She's going to talk to you.
Yeah, Mullane's moved up on... Race Street near Garfield Place, and it was bought by George Merle Case from WSAI.
Oh, yeah. Is it still there in the Garfield? Is it Mullane? Yeah, that's the same. I didn't realize that was the same one.
Right. Well, Ron Case is one of the people who provided quite a bit of information for me. So mm-hmm. he was in that family, yes.
Yeah.
He was their son.
And I learned something else from you, that Chef Gregory was the chef for Shillito's, or
no,
was it Pokes?
Pokes.
Did he have a place down on 7th Street, something back in the early 70s, a steak place that, you know,
was
like a
place, yeah.
cafeteria type thing or something?
That's something I don't know.
Marty, does that ring a bell to you?
It was the Ribs place, I think.
Was it a rib place? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you, Mullane's, you used to like, did you ever go to Shillito's or Pogues or any of those places?
I never went to Pogues. That was out of my price range. Shillito's, you did, yeah.
That's what Cynthia told me in the class.
Right.
That everybody,
right.
You said they had their little, how'd you
explain
it?
Well, it was similar to fans of different teams.
Yeah.
And there were families who were Shillito's people, and there were families who were McAlpin's people,
yeah.
and some would say, oh, no, you wouldn't find my family there. We went to the other store.
Mm-hmm.
So there was kind of a...
snobbishness.
Well, a little bit, yes.
Well, you know, our smart shop, because it was the same way in Chicago. My grandmother would never, she said, no, the Walnut Room at Fields was overpriced, but we'd go there for tea and dessert. So we went to Carson's, the Heather House, for luncheon, and then later on go to Fields for tea and everything.
Yes.
Like that. And that's how they all had their little niches and
oh,
everything
definitely.
Like that.
Yeah.
So you were but that Shillito's was a beautiful dining room, Marty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and anyway, would you like to tell Cynthia anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, well, thank you for
thank
calling.
You.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Cynthia, we're going to go over all your upcoming book signings and stuff, but could mm-hmm. you, if you want to paraphrase, there's one, when you go looking at this book, everybody, and it is a cookbook, and it's a time, I sort of think a lot of these recipes, would they sort of be called comfort food, or is that wrong?
I think so, and they're retro.
Yeah, retro
recipes.
The one thing that's not in there, mm-hmm. and I'm not attacking you for it, I just think it's cute, is macaroni and cheese.
Right.
Because I guess that was considered kind of déclassé for places like...
I just didn't find
not a good recipe.
One that I wanted to put in
well,
there.
Well, no, I'm glad you didn't.
Déclassé.
Déclassé. But anyway, and there's a lot of... when you read these things, whoa, the salt in some of these things, which is, you know, you can really not... do
you could
of
cut
that.
Back on
yeah.
it, yeah.
But I love this. If you quoted this lady in here, there was 100 at the time, and I love this because if any of you, like Ruthie, who listens to the show, if she were going to give us a recipe for macaroni and cheese, or what, she had that bourbon cake? Is that what
it
she
was,
makes?
Yeah, something like that.
You
yeah.
know, Ruthie, we're hinting if you're listening, by the way. And I can hear Ruthie saying this. So when you okay. interviewed this person.
Well, Elizabeth Kelly worked at Shillito's in the kitchen. And as you said, she was 100 when I interviewed her.
You said that.
Well, I'm, yes.
Yeah,
I
I'm
said
just
it
kidding.
First, you
yeah.
said it next.
Yeah.
And now she's 103.
She's 103 now?
Yes.
God bless
yes.
her. That's wonderful.
And so she,
we hope she's listening.
Yes, that would be great. She was telling me about making the famous Shillito's chicken salad.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked her about that recipe, she said that the chicken salad she made was similar to the recipe that Federated Stores had given them to use.
I'm not laughing at you.
She altered it just a little bit. She didn't bother following the store's recipe because her mother, who was an excellent cook, had taught her how to make chicken salad. So she made a few variations in it. And sometimes she would along with the celery and pecans, which are part of it. She would add sometimes pineapple or green grapes, and then she told me about making her own mayonnaise from scratch, mm-hmm. and she warned me that it can curdle easily, so when I make it, I have to be careful. I did try making it, and trust me, you're going to be glad you can buy mayonnaise in the store. I had trouble with it. But she didn't use any vinegar, and instead she used lemon juice and olive oil, and she didn't like all the spices they told her to use, like Worcestershire or Tabasco, so she was using paprika and mustard. And she also mentioned that Mr. Fred, meaning Fred Lazarus.
I love that part. Didn't somebody else mention him in there, too?
Yes,
Mr. Fred.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Fred Lazarus.
He was very well liked. I mean,
oh, yeah, they loved him.
Everyone
looked
up to him, yeah. But she did a boiled shrimp for cocktail sauce, with cocktail sauce that he liked a lot. She mentioned that.
I love that quote because I think of grandma. We have a caller. Pat, welcome to the Frank Farmer Loomis Show. And what would you like to tell us
Hi.
About? Hi. Are you hungry?
Well, I'm getting there.
Yeah. Well, what would you like to...
I don't actually have a recipe.
Uh-huh.
And my restaurant is not located in downtown Cincinnati. But I have here in front of me a placemat that came from the cafeteria at Coney Island.
Hmm.
Now,
there's
they had a walk-in cafeteria where you could just walk in and purchase whatever you like.
Uh-huh.
Or... they had an area where you could sit down and be served.
There aren't many cafeterias anymore, are there?
Yeah.
I wonder what brought Yeah.
That place was called the Velvet Palace.
Hmm. Velvet Palace, okay.
Yeah. And their menu was, they had these were all platters, a chicken platter, a hamburger platter, a barbecue platter, and they were all ran like a dollar and a $1.05, $1.10,
wow,
$1.75 for the big chicken platter, and all beverages were 25 cents.
Boy, those were the days, huh?
Those were the days. Is right.
Of course, the was the minimum wage. Yeah.
Dessert, you could get apple or cherry pie for 35 cents.
Mm. That's good. Well, thank you for sharing. You gave Cynthia an idea for another book, the cafeterias. Cafeterias have sort of fallen by the wayside, haven't they?
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, most people want to be waited on.
Well, and I imagine maybe all the fast food places are sort of in a way, sort of a cafeteria.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Pat, thank you very much. So you had that menu there, huh?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Actually, I was given it by a friend of mine whose husband worked at Coney Island.
Ah, cool. Okay.
I guess that's how he got his hands on it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling us.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We are talking, in the last few minutes of the show, we are talking to Cynthia Kuhn Bischel and Lost Tea Rooms at Downtown Cincinnati, Reflections and Recipes. Okay, other than, we're going to talk about in the last couple of minutes where you're going to be doing book signings, but if we wanted to buy this book, what's another way we can buy this book? Through your pub?
Amazon. Or History Press. I actually have a website.
You can tell it, yeah. Lost Tea Rooms, is it?
Yes, Lost Tea Rooms of Downtown Cincinnati. It's a very long name. But if they go there, you can click on a link to buy it. And I think I understand that all the bookstores in Cincinnati are going to be carrying it.
I'm sure they will, because it's local history here and everything.
Right. And I think some of the gift shops, like in the museums, and they might have it too.
So tomorrow is the big kickoff for you, and that's at Mrs. Teapot's Tea Room, 339 Fairfield Avenue, right by our friends Cleve and Lonneman on Fairfield Avenue in
Bellevue.
Beautiful. I love Bellevue. Mm-hmm. And that's from 5 to 9 p.m.
Right.
So that's your big kickoff. And then the next one is on November the 17th at the Bonbonnery.
Yes.
From starting at 12 noon in O'Brienville. Then
that same evening.
And that same evening, you're going to be worn out.
Yes.
Thursday, November the 17th. Now, I wonder if these are they going to expect you to bring samples?
I hope not.
Well, you could bring your grandmother's teacup, or your daughter could model for you.
Well, actually, at the Bonbonnery, and
they
that
have plenty
is
there.
That is something that people have to sign up for. But they've agreed to make their tea room luncheon be some of the menu.
Okay.
I mean, some of the recipes from the book.
Would you, when you're at the Bonbonnery, would you say hello to one of my very old dearest neighbors from way back when, Mary Pat?
All right.
And tell her Frank said hello.
I will do that.
And so then on the 17th at 7 p.m. at Joseph Beth Booksellers. And here, I'll let you read because maybe you might want to.
Well, the next one would be December the 3rd, and that's the Blue Ash Holiday Craft Show. We'll be there from 10 to 3. Clifton Branch Library is December 4th.
You can see that new beautiful library.
Yes, it's if you knew Clifton at all for a while, as I said, it was Boss Cox's house, and then it was the Pike Fraternity House.
Well, more and famous than that, it was just down the street from the Virginia Bakery.
That's true, too.
That's the claim to fame.
Right. And then December 12th is Nella's Tea Room in Milford. Mm. And there may be some more coming up, so if you do get to the website, I'll be posting new dates.
Yeah. Right. Well, we want to thank the author, Lost Tea Rooms of Downtown Cincinnati, Reflections and Recipes by Cynthia Kuhn-Beschel. I'm Frank Farmer Loomis. Thank you all for listening and supporting public radio. And take care, everybody. And we'll talk to you all next week. And always be chipper. Bye now.
Thank you.